we're going to see the two matchups of September this weekend, right? It's going to be Dylan Grimes on Jordan DeGoey.
Yes.
And the other one's down the other end of the ground. Levi Greenwood or even Jack Crisp will be the two to tag team Dustin Martin. I like that matchup, Nick.
Hello and welcome to the Super Footy Podcast preliminary final week. Just four teams left in it, can you believe it? Giants and Hawks eliminated at the weekend. Sets the scene, Jay and Lauren, for, well, one of the biggest games of all time, potentially, Richmond versus Collingwood. And the other one, the Eagles hosting Melbourne, should be absolute crackers. Lauren, you were there on Friday and Saturday night. What'd you make of the weekend action?
Yeah, made a weekend of it, Mick. Great to be back with you. And yeah, absolutely fantastic atmosphere both nights. Obviously, Melbourne, they made the MCC members their own on Friday night, and there was no denying that they significantly outnumbered the Hawks. And then obviously Collingwood over the Giants on Saturday night. But I know a lot's made of grand final week and it's the ultimate week in footy, but I've got to say preliminary final week, it's a favourite of mine. It's got a nice buzz about
it. It's the purest finals round, really. None of the corporates are there. Jay-Z, Collingwood are an incredible story. This time last year, we were saying how bad they were and in disarray, and the coach was in the middle of that review. And here they are, one win from a grand final.
Remarkable. And there's a strong feel-good factor behind the scenes, Mick, at this footy club. They're all on the same page, much like your Tigers the year before, much like the Bulldogs from the year before that. So they are tired as a drum. Hey, at quarter time, they should have been up by 6 goals. They should have won this game by 8 goals. If it wasn't some inaccurate conversion inside forward 50, they dominated that first quarter. What was it? 20 inside 50s. But they responded late in that last quarter. Quarter. Jordan DeGoey, we thought he'd be a wild card in September, and he's proving to be as such. But well done.
He's a gun.
This is important, Mick and Lauren. Well done to Nathan Buckley, who made two of the most bravest selection calls in recent years on Adam Treloar and Tyson Goldsack. Yep. How's that looking right now? Treloar's last quarter was exceptional.
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't doubt it, but after watching Treloar play over at West Coast against the Eagles the week before, he looked like he was a little bit. There were a few moments where he looked running a bit at half pace, and I thought, oh, is he holding himself back or is he just not quite there?
But well,
I think there was no.
He's not extending himself, is he? And he's not kicking long, but you wouldn't
his
want to.
His half pace is a lot faster still than our top pace.
A lot faster than me. I don't know about you guys, he's the elite athletes you are, but Goldie is the one for me. That Sam Edmund wrote the great story over the weekend of the meeting that took place where obviously all the medicos gathered. Do we play him? Do we not? He ticked all the boxes, but it sounds like to have been a fly on the wall in that room. The speech that Tyson Goldsack gave to the medicos to convince them he was right.
He wouldn't have played if Schoenberg and et cetera hadn't have gone down, though, would he?
I think we wrote that in the Herald Sun at the time that he was a fair chance to make it back.
We're not going to go down.
I can't remember who wrote it.
Now, look, just to wind it back a little bit, the Pies, as far as I can tell, have only beaten two top eight teams all year.
This is where you look back in the rearview mirror, Mick. We look forward.
I'm just presenting a case as to why they can or can't beat Richmond on Friday night. So it'll be them coming off a 6-day break, Richmond off a 15-day break, although Buck said in the presser, hey, maybe they've had too much time to twiddle their thumbs. Can you make a case, Lauren, for the Pies to do a 1999 prelim, Carlton knocking off Essendon?
Oh, I think you'd have to. And I mean, momentum, we talk about it a lot in footy, and it's an incredible thing. I must admit, I had my fears when Jordan DeGoey went down with that rolled ankle in the first quarter, because you mentioned him before, Jay. He is just absolutely crucial to Collingwood when it comes to big games. But, you know, Richmond, they've got that great record at the MCG. But I think with the belief, as you mentioned, Jay, they're an incredibly tight group. They've been doing the weekly cultural sessions, sort of a la Richmond last year with the Heroes and Hardships campaign that they ran throughout the year, but they're enjoying it. It looks like they're having a hell of a time out there on the G, and I wouldn't be discounting them by any stretch on Friday night.
We're going to see the two matchups of September this weekend, right? It's going to be Dylan Grimes on Jordan DeGoey.
Yes.
That is going to be an absolute must-watch one-on-one.
Well, I feel sorry for DeGoey.
Battle Royale, Mickey would say that. And the other one's down the other end of the ground, because clubs have really cottoned on to what Richmond do with Dustin Martin, and that is that he largely plays as a forward, except at the centre bounce stoppages or some of the midfield stoppages. So he can test those, so he's so good at them. And then he just basically plays forward. And that's where some clubs have been caught out playing a midfielder on him, and that midfielder then goes in defence. So I think Levi Greenwood or even Jack Crisp will be the two to tag team Dustin Martin. I like that matchup, Mick.
I don't like Greenwood on Martin at all. I hope that actually eventuates. I'm worried about side bottom. I think they're going to have to play Jack Graham. Well, you've got to play him tight. I know he's a star, but his season and his finals has just been incredible. Grundy as well. I think Nank Kervis can be competitive. They felt the lob was okay against Grundy on the weekend. The other one's your mate Pendles. Mm-hmm. Now, has he knocked his teeth out, or what's going on with him?
What happened? He's got a corky. He's chewing soft food, that's for sure. He copped a knock in his teeth, into his mouth, in the loss to West Coast a week ago. It really rattled him within the first 5 minutes. So he said he's really disappointed in his performance, but really the side story is he copped a hammer blow to the head, basically. But he fought that off last night. It's still causing him some grief, but he was very good against the Giants. He'll play out to September and have some post-season dental surgery, get back on the hard food.
What a month he's had. Like, there was the virus that hospitalised him, of course, thanks to Little Jacks, I think, brought that one home. Now the teeth.
Yep.
Is he the sort of bloke, Jay, and you know him well, is he the sort of bloke that this sort of stuff week after week is going to catch up with him?
No.
Or is he the sort of bloke that puts it on the back burner for 2 weeks, we've got a job to do, I'll deal with it then?
He's a gutsy freak, Lauren. We saw him last night, five-time Copeland Trophy winner, five-time All-Australian, Norm Smith medalist. And just, I think when you look at that Collingwood midfield, right, they have the absolute firepower to take the game away from Richmond at the coalface. So Richmond sacrifice a lot of those centre bounces and win it on the counter-attack. Yep. Collingwood have the quality to win that first position.
Okay, which brings us to Mason Cox, who he's been ordinary for the last two finals, let's be honest. Now, I don't know whether that was the way they just, as we spoke about last week, nudging him under the ball. And he got a couple of frees. They'd need him to fire. The other ones, who's going to play on Jack Riewoldt?
Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it? Mason Cox, I've been watching a bit of his social media work over the last couple of days, and maybe he just didn't quite know what he was playing in, because he's saying it's preliminary finals like a semi-final, and it's all sort of very very confusing for Mason, of course, coming over from America. His dad, I understand, is trying to get to Australia from Texas. But, Jay, you're not a fan of Mason's work inside 50,
No,
obviously.
He's providing a contest, and that's a really important. But it is going to be so hard. You look at Richmond's trump card, obviously, is the Asprey-Grimes Rants matchup. They're very hard to beat aerially. But that's where we saw the speed of Stephenson and the speed of Will Hoskin Elliott.
Well, I think, been pretty ordinary.
He's come out today and said that he's determined to make a man. Sam Reid did a job on him.
And so Will Hoskin Elliott knows the jack in the box. Don't rule out Rants to DeGoey either, because Stephenson, you know, he's a good player, and if things change, Grimes could go to him.
So what do you think for Jack Riewoldt then?
I was just going to say before that, there was patches in the game where the Collingwood couldn't get it out of the Giants forward line.
Yes.
And that's how I see this game being played. I thought
territory battle in Richmond's forward half.
Giants just were so easy at stages in that first quarter, weren't they? That won't happen. Jack Riewoldt will have to be Goldsack, won't it?
Yep.
I don't know. No, they want Howe.
The other one is the third one. Can I ask you about GWS before you leave, Mick? Remember two or three years ago, Mark Thompson, all of you, were writing that this was the greatest club ever assembled, the most talented list, Frankenstein, five premierships in a row.
I know.
Do we as a media have to put up our hand and say we got this totally wrong, that we totally misread it, or have they just underperformed?
No, we do, because they have obviously failed 3 years now in the finals. But look, they were hit by injury this year, big time, weren't they? I can think of Patton, Shaw, who else?
Toby Green had a massive patch out. Weeks. Jeremy Cameron served a long suspension. Yeah. Tom Scully
but
had
all
his
teams
injury
have
woes.
That.
Yeah, but these were key players. Yeah. You know, the names that you reeled off then, they are the blokes that are leading from the front. We all talk about every team's top six. They were all in it.
So, Lauren, is this a make or break year for Leon Cameron? So if they don't make the grand final and win the premiership, is he the man to coach him beyond that?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Leon and his work. But you'd have to say that next year is going to be crucial, not necessarily to win the premiership, but the fact that they can't...
Well, they need to win a premiership with that list, Lauren.
They haven't made it past the prelim yet, so I think they've got to deal with that first.
It doesn't help when you don't have any supporters. I reckon game style for Giants and Geelong is a real issue. They need to be harder. Everyone needs to copy what Richmond, Melbourne, Collingwood are doing.
It's grubby football.
Oh, well, it may well be
thanks,
grubby,
Clarko.
But it's the way to get trophies in your cabinet.
It's hot.
I think
it's
last
finals.
I checked,
that was my best Chris Scott impression.
Why we play. Ryan Griffin has retired, so things are going to change. We'll talk a bit more about Shield, but Dan Butler, would you risk him?
You tell me.
Well, the word is that he really dominated that intra-club where the word reached that Dustin Martin
broke
was
his leg.
Broken his leg and yeah. Rioli had snapped his finger.
Yeah. But so those, who would
you
go
can
out
get
for
injured
him?
In those intra-clubs. Well, I don't know. That's it would be maybe Conker, but whoever goes out will be stiff. But I'm sure they're giving a lot of thought to him playing. So
do you think it'll be change or no change?
I reckon that they will play Dan Butler.
What about Brandon Ellis?
Well, I don't
so hang
think
on a second. You think Conker's out?
No, I don't know who's
well, call
out.
Call it out. Call it Nick.
I think that they'll bring. No, I can't guess. But I think they're pretty keen
people
to bring
listening
Dan
to this
Butler.
Podcast want a lift from you.
I know. I should have done more work on that. He's a big chance to play. All right, just quickly, who's going to win it?
Oh, I think Richmond. But I just can't wait for the spectacle. We got 98,002 people to the 2007 prelim between Geelong and Collingwood. I reckon we'll smash that.
Has
They're
to be
queuing up for tickets all day Sunday already. MCC's weighing up at the moment whether to allow visitors passes. I think it could hinge on that to get an extra few thousand in. But yeah, Tigers for me.
If that house isn't full, like yeah, it's got to be.
There needs
for
to be a royal commission.
Exactly. Well, I think there's an upset in the making. I think this could be the fairy tale here. Yeah. I think Collingwood can
Collingwood
stick
versus,
it to your
well,
boys.
I,
think,
oh. yeah, well,
I if, always thought there was going to be a twist in the tail of this season.
I still see people walking around from that 99 prelim Essendon supporters as flat as you know what, and I really hope that doesn't happen because you'll need a
you
new
may
host.
Not be with us next week.
You'll need a new host us. Next week. Let's cross over to the Nullarbor next Saturday. 3:20 PM our time. What's that? 1:20. Geez, let's hope it's not 40 degrees and I've totally stuffed up the something else here.
No,
AFL.
I've checked the forecast on Perth because I did hear that mentioned a few days ago. That just imagine if it was this huge physical contest in 30 degrees. But no, I think low 20s. But quite
low
a nice 20s. Day in Perth.
All right, well, it'll be hotter out there though. This is Melbourne, who are coming with a Divine Madonna type run against the Eagles, who've got their superstar forward line back up and running. What do you reckon, Jay?
I think I'm just going to jump in
you
ahead
sound
of Jay
different.
While he looks at a few things there.
Still
but
checking
I,
the weather.
I think you mentioned that then, Mick, that the weather may not be quite as hot, but the contest will be incredibly hot. And I'm just loving what Melbourne's been able to do. They've made that chaos ball their own. It's become sort of, we saw Richmond, their trademark with their pressure. Well, depends which way you look at it, which side of the train line you live on. I think chaos versus grubby, tomato sort of thing. But they have, Richmond, as I said, made the pressure their own last year. But Melbourne, they've just absolutely made this their own. They've won, they had a horrible run in Perth for so many years. I think 2004 to 2016, they went without a win. We know it was a really bad period for the club, but they've won their last two trips west. One was only a few weeks ago. I know Jack Darling and Josh Kennedy weren't playing then, but they will do massive. That will do massive things for the confidence of this group, and they are absolutely buoyant down there.
They look vulnerable at times of games, a bit like Collingwood, where they don't. There are phases, and they got away with it against Hawthorn. They're probably lucky.
And Geelong too the week before.
Yeah, so you'd think West Coast will make them pay. I heard David King say if they play like that, they'll get smashed.
And in terms of that chaos ball or delivery, that's what Jeremy McGovern absolutely thrives on. So he'll be all, and Hearn's the same. They'll be absolutely all over that sort of, wobbly delivery and get it forward at all costs footy. So I think this is going to be an absolute ripper contest. But I tell you what, we're going to start talking about Clayton Oliver as being genuinely one of the best players of his age that we've ever seen come through the competition. The speed and cleanliness.
How old is he?
He's 20. He shows, beneath his knees in particular, is absolutely extraordinary. Clearly, Hawthorn tried to target him. They tried to pummel him at every opportunity on Friday night.
Well,
Liam
Shields. It must have been a huge bump that Tom Mitchell got him with when he went down.
Don't be facetious. You would have done the same thing to draw that free kick to go forward. The other one is Tom McDonald.
He needs to get that out of his game. He's done it twice now that I can remember.
His team got a free kick. There was contact, mate. I know your point's valid. The other one's Tom McDonald. Like he is such an underrated superstar. His hands this year.
He is a gun.
It has probably been, is it the coaching move, off the top of my head,
of the century.
Of the season to bring Tom McDonald from centre-half back to centre-half forward.
Can't think of a better one.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better one ever. I
mean, in the history of football.
Well, I can't. I've never seen a bloke who just looks more like a forward. Did he ever play as a forward as a kid? He's an absolute ruckman.
Yeah, and he played a little bit in the ruck. I managed to catch up with him last week as part of Melbourne's fantastic open media day. And he sort of was thrown a bit everywhere during TAC Cup, as they tend to do with kids that are going to get drafted. He rucked a bit, defended a bit, forward a bit, spent his first preseason at the club playing as a forward and was then thrown down back because someone went down in the NAB Challenge. So he was a bit of a floater. He was sort of drafted on his athleticism, running around the farm at Edenhope. But he didn't really know where he wanted to be, and he just looks right at home now, doesn't he?
The oven at home. Because all key backs are failed forwards, aren't they?
Yep.
So for him to turn this around is just incredible. But
to think they're doing this all of this without Jake Lever and Jesse Hogan. Yeah. They should be...
Who you want to trade, Jesse Hogan?
Well, so you might find that will
we'll
be...
talk about trade agents. So Brad Shepherd's a big out, though, for them. I don't know who they'll bring in. Someone... Is Schofield still around? Someone like that?
Yeah. Will Schofield, good Geelong man.
Righto. So who wins and why?
I think Melbourne, it's based on that momentum game that we were talking about before. I just think they are just so up and about at the moment. They managed to do it over there a couple of weeks ago. Tom McDonald, I think, will be absolutely key for that one this week. He's just playing with so much confidence and looks right at home. So maybe I am fishing for the fairy tale. I know Melbourne, they've taken a lot of heart from what the Western Bulldogs and Richmond were able to do over the last few years and are using your mantra still, Jay, esprit de corps, as you read a few weeks ago.
Amigos para siempre.
That is just ringing so, so true.
Jack Viney's a gun.
The D's. Jack Viney, he was just in absolute beast mode again on Friday night against the Hawks. So expect him to come out with that exact same hunger on Saturday against the Eagles. As I say, maybe I am fishing for the fairy tale, but I'd love to see them get it done.
Melbourne beat them in Perth only a few weeks ago, and I think they're riding a wave of momentum, so I can't see why they won't get it done again. Mick, Collingwood, Melbourne, what a grand final.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to go for the Eagles.
Of course you are.
In a tight one.
Now, villain.
The quick word on the Hawks, because they probably fourth flattered them a bit.
Yep.
And they got bundled out in straight sets. O'Meara and Stratton was pretty harsh to lose those two. And as I said, they got within two goals
That game could have changed complexion if Gunston had kicked that goal on the run from 15 metres out. The look on his face, Melbourne countered straight away. You felt like that was a heartbreaking moment for the Hawthorn club in that point in that game.
Yeah.
Absolutely it was. They just didn't play their best footy at the right time, did they? And Clarko said that after the game. If you've got to win six games on the trot just to make it in the finals, you're sort of... You've not burnt out, but you've spent all your tickets sort of thing by the time it does get to September.
Yeah, like Sydney last year. Well, let's use this as the segue to Trade HQ because the club before and after the game were very adamant that Roughhead is going nowhere. But like you said last week, Jay, it was just weird that we were talking about that his future before the season was over. They've clearly fixed that in the last 48, 72 hours.
Well, it was Clarko himself who left the door open. He was the one who made a story about this when he said, look, Ruffy's got different options. One of them is to go to another club. If he, at that point, said what he said last night, he's staying, he's not going anywhere, then it wouldn't be a story. So really, it came from the coach in the first place. I mean, he's not playing unbelievable footy, Ruffy. So on the field, I think next year, there will be some question mark about his spot in the team. That will be a discussion. But really, off the field, he adds so much, and especially to a new club, I think he would bring so much as well. So clubs will still ask about him in the next couple of weeks, but Clarko was emphatic last night or two nights ago and said probably what he should have said 3 weeks ago.
He was really, really firm on it, wasn't he? The question put to him was that if there were any more discussions that needed to be had, he gave a flat no. The discussions have been had and he'll be playing next year.
100%,
he said. 100%. So it was interesting, though, to hear him then talk about what they do need to add in terms of, growing their bottom six organically, which we know how valuable a bottom six at a club is. But he just held nothing back, Clarko, in their, aspirations to trade, draft, do whatever, free agency.
Well, they've missed Tom Lynch, but they had a philosophy up until this year that they would never spend more than $690,000 a year on a player. If it didn't have a six in front of it, forget it was there. mantra. That's why they didn't look at Dusty. But when Tom Lynch became available, they clearly, well, I know this, they decided to change philosophy. They didn't get him, but they have a new philosophy that they're prepared to pay $800-900 for a player. So is his name Dylan Scheel?
I am not sure he'll go to Hawthorn because he commands a $1.2 million salary as well. So I don't think Hawthorn will be in that ballpark. The one from left field for the Hawks could be Darcy Moore.
He is not a $1.2 million player, by the way.
I think Carlton have got that already written out on a big novelty-size check.
I mean, he's a great player. Out in front of,
I drove past before. Steve Silvani's out there, out the front, waving it around.
Like come a Domino's on, guy Dylan. With the big sign at yeah. the traffic light.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. You know when you pull up at the lights and those people wash your windscreens? Dylan Scheel, a Royal Parade, pulls up and then Sauce comes across. Anyway.
Dylan, he would look good in a Carlton jumper.
They've been on him in for years. Darcy Moore is the one who could come from left field because, if anything, Hawthorn do need that bolstering up the spine. You know, James Frawley, how long's he got left? Roughhead's coming to an end.
Sorry, so, Darcy Moore to Hawthorn.
Well, I'm just saying it could emerge from left field.
Oh, hello.
But they won't pay a first-round pick for him. It would have to be a second round pick, and I mean he's unsigned at Collingwood, and you'd have to think it's
got
a real.
That's the first time I've heard that. That is a. What about Paddy McCartan?
I think he's also gettable. I think.
Oh wow!
I think.
This is new.
We've buried
Hang
the
on.
I think Paddy is frustrated within himself about his development and the game plan at St Kilda. It's not all a happy situation down there. So,
how much of it's his own appetite to work, though, as opposed to the development system and that he's been exposed to?
He needs to work harder. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I mean, diabetes is a bit of an issue
there.
But St Kilda having a very open
and his
mind.
Concussions, but...
And concussions. St Kilda having a very open mind. It would not shock me at all if he left this footy club at the end of the year, Paddy McCartan.
To Geelong.
No, I think that's less likely at this stage.
Right. Have you got a club?
I wonder about Sydney. I know his brother's up there, and he would potentially have to knock out his brother's spot.
His brothers, they don't need
Tommy.
His brother's a gun.
I think he could be on the move, Paddy.
Okay. Stephen May, it is just bizarre, this story going around that they could tear up his contract and make him a free agent, and therefore they get more draft picks. If that happens... I'll write it down as the 27th disgraceful thing to happen this year out of AFL House.
I don't think that will happen. That will not happen.
Well, no. Where's that coming from?
Otherwise, everyone would just sort of do that. But it's worth, I guess, chatting about. I think he'll be at Collingwood. Stephen May, they're gunning hard for him. It's just the price tag. So in terms of what are they willing to give up, I think it'll be somewhere in between one and two first-round picks. So maybe one first-round pick and a couple of players like Adam Oxley, I don't know, maybe not James Aish, but that fringe type. Collingwood have ruled out parting two first-round picks for Stephen May. He'd be perfect for their back line.
I heard Kane Corn say there are going to be 40 players change clubs out of the 800 in the comp in this upcoming meat market. Jared Pollock, Lauren, will be one of those. It was interesting on the weekend, almost revealing that Port never made him an offer.
Yeah, it was a weird one, wasn't he? Did an interview with the Nightly News, I think, wasn't it, over in Adelaide? I think maybe Channel 9 News. Channel 10. And then he took to AW. Yeah. So we know that he wants to get to North Melbourne. But it was a little, I wouldn't quite call it a drive-by,
backhander.
It was a little bit of a nugget that sort of flew under the radar a bit, wasn't it?
Well, maybe because they just figured the money was, you know, way too much, but... Anyway, so he's going to North, Jay. Is that, we lock that in?
Yeah, and Chad Wingard is the really interesting one. So
St Kilda?
Or the Bulldogs.
The Bulldogs.
He'd be
good there.
Couldn't rule out Hawthorn either on that front.
Why would they get rid of a player of his quality?
That is such a good question, and I just don't know whether they're happy with his attitude or his work ethic, his mindset, whether he cares enough. You know, that's sort of thing. I mean, he's clearly a very talented player. But clubs are inquiring about him, and if he does land at St Kilda or Western Bulldogs, it'd be huge pickups from them. But you have to question Port Adelaide's whole build, because they bring in Motlop, Watts and Rockliffe, and now they're potentially in Trengove. Oh, no, they lost Trengove. Sorry, now they're bringing in. Excuse me. Now they're losing. Give up, Clarkie. Wingard. Anyway.
Lauren, have we got any other trade HQ, or can we move on?
Well, I think there's a bit of talk about Aaron Hall. Jay, across this, that he could be off to North as well. So it sounds like that war chest is finally... opening, finally. They just needed to get one, didn't they?
But you wonder if the biggest story on this front, even if, say, Gaff, Hall and Pollock go to North Melbourne, Does that cost them Josh Kelly? I can't see them getting those three players.
And then Josh next year.
Well, I don't know. Like, it would be a Harry Houdini act if they can get those three guys and then add Josh Kelly and $1 million a
year. Well, Richmond have done it with Lynch. We were remiss not to mention Josh Kelly, weren't we? Their best player missing that game against Collingwood. Jeez.
You lose a soldier, you get a soldier.
Oh, he's not just a soldier, mate. He's got four stripes.
E-class.
He's a gun.
Just quickly, on him, right, if they're going to trade him, we've heard about players being worth 2 first-round draft picks. Would Josh Kelly be the first player in AFL history to be worth 3 first-round draft picks?
Oh. You're usually the calculating man, but off the top of my head, I don't think that would be overs. Having watched him live at the SCG on last Saturday.
She gets it, Mick.
He is just a freak. Who did you call a freak before? Scott Pendlebury, I think it was. Josh Kelly, I know we talk about in the media of who's a star and who's a superstar.
Yeah.
There's not only a few in the competition.
Well, right.
Freak is probably just about another category, and Josh Kelly is one.
I think Jay and Lauren can apply for work at Gold Coast Suns and completely butcher a list.
Chris Judd was
three
worth...
3 first-round picks for one player.
Chris Judd was worth, what was it, pick 3? Josh Kennedy.
Yeah, and how'd that work out for Carlton, by the way?
Pick 16 or something. Anyway.
No players worth 3 first-round picks.
Just sort of throw it up.
Now, the contact below the knees rule, Lauren, is always... It's not the umpire's fault, but you would have seen the just diabolical decision-making on Friday night. It's got to go, or at least this week they need to say, can we bring some logic into it?
Yeah, another week, another rules schmozzle. We just turn the blowtorch onto another rule. But you're right, Mick, Friday night it absolutely blew up again. And we know it was brought in sort of... as a safety measure.
Yeah, Gary Rowan.
But, yeah, it's just one of those things, isn't it? And in the split second, the heat of the moment, the huge cauldron that is a finals campaign, I think it will be definitely addressed with Hayden Kennedy and the umpires early in the week.
You remember the famous one that wasn't even paid, which was Hanbury.
Yeah.
Where is Hanbury going, by the way?
St Kilda.
Okay, now what
which I think could be a bust.
Oh yeah, that's
with Merv Sydney.
Yeah, that's a genius by the Swans. I want to talk about these rule changes because
You're off coming off the long run. Well, so let's go.
So why don't I lead you into this, Mick?
Okay.
Let us know what you think of the 18-meter goal.
I'll tell you
oblong.
Not what I think. 90% of the players in that AFLPA survey said that it was a joke. They just said they didn't like it.
It's a joke. Was a tick for that question.
92% of Herald Sun readers in a survey we did. Overwhelmingly, people think, A, it looks ridiculous, but B, you're going to change the fabric of our game, the way that the game is played. On what evidence, Jay? And Lauren, 2 or 3 VFL games, as David King so put it so well, hasn't been tested against AFL strategy.
Yeah,
these coaches are going to be out there plotting. This is the Mexomatosis, the cane toad of AFL. You're going to introduce this crap and you potentially ruin the game based on the hubris. As Grant Thomas said, it's like those egos at golf clubs. He said, hey, son, I put that bunker there. It is an absolute joke. And when you get Whateley come out and say, oh, yeah, but these great people on the committee wouldn't have done it like Eddie Maguire. Well, guess what? They have done it. The only hope we have is that the AFL Commission have some sense about them and say, you know what, this is the most stupid thing you've put to me since probably all the crap that went on in the Essendon drug saga.
Oh.
But then again, none of those
that's rant of the year.
Rant the commission have any idea about football, do they? Because they're all from business world and, you know, some other world. Maybe Jason Ball knows about footy because he played, but I have no faith in the system. This is the biggest embarrassment in the history of our game.
I know we're an audio medium, but Jay and I are both putting our hands up of like, can we just...
It's a joke.
Next, you know, in the
trust
classroom.
Steve Hocking, they say, all these journos out there drinking the Kool-Aid, sculling the stuff.
The interesting or the byproduct of all this could be, right, just say in a close game, you don't want to score a point, really. You don't want to miss.
Yeah.
You want to kick a goal.
Because otherwise, you either kick a goal or you want to stoppage or out of bounds. Yeah. Because if you
this
kick a point,
I mean. The
they
unintended
can go,
consequence.
Yeah. Because at the SCG, for example, 80-metre goal square, you can kick it to centre half forward. You can get the coast-to-coast goal percentage will skyrocket from kick-outs. So if you do have that possession, maybe you just want to kick to the line or get the ball out of bounds. You don't want to kick a point.
That's where I think it's interesting in that we're bringing in a universal
maximatosis
rule of the meterage. It's not a relative meterage depending on the ground, Jay, as you mentioned there. The effect of the 80-metre goal score at the SCG is going to be completely different to the MCG. Maybe it could be relative, I don't know. But I'm just a bit, you probably know this by now, but bit rational thinker, give things time and just see how it plays out. But I was at St Kilda the day that they trialled it down there at their training session with the giant goal square and all the AFL officials up on the balcony. And yes, I can confirm it looked very weird. I know you mentioned that before, Mick, but it was just really hard to get a sense of whether it would work. It was being trialled in conjunction with a number of other rule changes while St Kilda were also preparing for their match against GWS. So they were sort of a bit like, hang on a minute, boys, don't come in and just take over our training session because we've still got a game to prepare for. So it was a bit of a hybrid trial. You mentioned there were three, I think, VFL games. That's probably not enough for me. I want to see a much greater sample size.
Well, it should be in the NAB Cup next year and trialled in
trial it there. So it'll be interesting to see. The commission still have to tick this off, don't they, Mick?
I have no faith in them. They don't know football, so they've got to take the recommendation of these radicals. They are way too dangerous, these people, for our game.
I don't think you're going hard enough, Mick.
I'm disgusted by it. I know the public are. We're talking about 90%, you know, like it's
a few.
This majority. Is real. We're just going to get
Kevin Rudd had
podcast,
a bit more popularity. You know, it's just a joke. Anyway, what else you got, guys?
Do you want to talk about the Cats trading situation?
Yeah, actually, talk to us about this, Jay, because I know you've written it for the Herald Sun, the picks. This is something that I have really struggled to understand in recent years and loopholes and pick trading and all this sort of stuff. So can you just give it to us? Obviously, we're heading into trade period pretty shortly. There's a lot of news around picks and players and moving and all that sort of stuff. So can you just give it to us in layman's terms of how this actually works.
It's taken me 5 days and 20 phone calls, including five back to the same person to work this out.
They're horrible, aren't they? Me again.
We really need to just sort this out.
Explain it to me one.
Yeah, exactly. Now, about that thing you said earlier. Anyway, so what happens is you are only restricted on trading your future first-round pick. So any club who has had less than two first-round picks in the past four previous drafts...
Like Geelong.
From next year, could possibly. Possibly this could affect Geelong, depending on what they do this trade period. But really, it will never impact your first-round pick in this year's draft. So you could still trade this year's first-round pick 10 years in a row.
Right.
No dramas. What it does is it could stop you from trading your future first-round pick. That's what they get a little bit scared about. It's to stop sort of haphazard...
Blowing yourself up.
Yeah.
Gold Coast Sun style.
Exactly. But really, there's a massive loophole in this anyway, because there's a disclaimer, and that is you can still get special exemption anyway under application. So it doesn't matter.
So the whole thing's just a joke, is what you're saying. Really. Well, it's like the free agency compensation system that we don't know what it is. We'll just tell you.
The secret herbs and spices.
Yeah, the same one they used to come up with the 18-metre goal square.
Favourite colour of the AFL.
It is
grey.
It is really hard to restrict the club's trading. When you go back over the past 10 years and see that the most successful club in the past 10 years, Hawthorn, done it exactly that way, by trading. So, you know, they're the gold standard and you're trying to restrict exactly what they want to do.
There's only one thing that makes good footy clubs, and that is good people. You can have more picks than a box of confetti, but if you don't have the right people, and I'm talking about the Gold Coast Suns again and Carlton up until recently, they're starting to sort it out in the boardroom, etc. Jay, you've done something on the Brownlow.
Oh, yes. So
next week, because this time next week we'll be talking about a new Brownlow medalist.
We're expecting Tommy Mitchell to win it. Dustin Martin to come second. This is my personal view there, Mick. I've crunched all the numbers. The two interesting stories on Brownlow Medal Night will be this. The Battle of the Ruckman, Grundy versus Gawn. Yep. I think Gawn gets him. But also this, Patrick Cripps, how many votes will he poll in a team that only won two games? So I've seen some sort of predictions and analysis that say he could finish top four or five. Mm-hmm. I think he's fifth favourite with TAB. However, Champion Data, who we love and respect and trust enormously, have him ranked 29th. They think he will poll 12 votes in this year's Brownlow Medal, Patrick Cripps, which would be a spectacular overlook from the umpires. So it will be interesting, Michael.
I reckon Patrick Cripps will poll the most votes ever for a player that's played in only two wins.
Yep.
So I don't know, what's that going to be?
Who would that be?
It'll be 19 votes you'll poll.
Right.
That'd be my guess.
Well, Champion Nutter got a polling 12 votes. Remember Gary Ablett won in what, 2014 from a losing team? Gold Coast finished 12th. That year, Gold Coast still won 8 games.
Yep.
And Gary Ablett polled 3 votes in 6 of those games. So the bulk of his votes came from Gold Coast winning games. Carlton only wins 2. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's rough. I think Tom Mitchell, we can't go past him. Your man Dusty, though, there's still a lot of people talking about him, Mick. But no, there's only one thing on my mind ahead of Monday morning, and it is pray for Ticketek, because I think with Richmond Collingwood, yes, it's going to be absolutely massive. They're camping out already, and I just hope for everyone's sake that it all goes smoothly and that everyone that wants to get there can.
And I'm told if that does blow up again, they'll lose their contract, because the last breakdown was because of a human error. Someone didn't press, like one of those simple things, like they pressed no instead of yes.
You'd have said no.
Yeah, and that blew up the whole system last time.
Well, I think they'll take solace from the fact they're only selling one game. They've got staggered start times, only selling the one game, because the Optus Stadium contract is with Ticketmaster.
The AFL own the competition, so they should make sure that people can buy tickets. We'll see you next week when we will know who's playing in the 2018 Grand Final.